March Madness all day.
I think Charlottesville is under attack.
And some basketball games, too. Yeah! Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
For Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Hey, don't say that.
Let's all hands and give a yell for dear old UVA.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and the good old song. Back in the days when you could sing about being bright and gay, maybe you can again. I mean, it becomes so cyclical sometimes. It's tough to keep the names of the knights square without a scorecard. And one of the great scorecards has been since its inception, and it seems like not all that long ago, but the Washington Examiner has been really shining the light into places that the D.C. establishment hasn't wanted it shined for some time now. And they're smart because they pick up people who get journalism and get the idea that the sanctity of the industry needs to be constantly fed and looking for it, and perhaps never more important than these days. I say that because, egg on my face, I had a chance back in Toby's showroom to have hired Breck and Thies into the WCHV newsroom, turned my pockets inside out and said, I don't have a budget to hire anyone right now. So he went and found a job with this Breitbart group. You might have heard of them. They've kicked over a few tables. And then the Washington Examiner smartly grabbed him up there as well. And we're proud of him, even with the egg on my face there. But he's got a story that makes me so mad. But it's also at the same time not surprising. He has chronicled the diversity, equity, and inclusion mismanagement of the University of Virginia, and he's tallied up the cost to the taxpayer of it, $20 million, if you read the Examiner, and he is on the phone with us. Brecken, thanks for taking a couple of minutes out with us. Congratulations on what, in an honest world, this would be at least some sort of an award-winning story. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Joe.
So, you know, this stuff, the hidden cost, I think the importance of this, aside from the Eisprunk to President Ryan and the Board of Visitors at UVA for allowing this stuff to happen, is bigger, because UVA is not alone in this kind of bad management driven by ESG and DEI, are they?
No, they're definitely not. They're far from it, actually. A lot of universities, I mean, DEI is an ideology that pervades business and government and academia, and it has sort of placed itself at the forefront of a lot of the operations of kind of everyday businesses. And you mentioned something that's exactly right. ESG is a big reason, especially for businesses, to do this, because if you want to get favorable ratings from banks for loans and things like that, or you want to, you know, show that you're socially responsible according to the sort of like left-wing ideology, then you will implement DEI in order to get good ratings. And it's going to become a lot more prominent, like I said, with finances and banking and business. And of course, academia sort of created DEI itself and has to continually prove to everyone that, you know, the people who work on this sort of ideology, their careers aren't useless. So they have to make sure that there are positions everywhere across the board carrying this.
And part of your story, I mean, it leads off with the stunning number of staffers at the University of Virginia that are involved in this process. So start with that. How many people wearing orange and blue right now, you know, are earning a living basically making UVA less sound fiscally?
Yeah, sure. So the report that we have from Open the Books put it at 235 DEI-related roles in 2023, and the cost of And just the salary and benefits and healthcare and things like that is $20 million. And that's, I think, an important distinction from sort of how the recommendations and other things from these people are being carried out, with things like taking statues down or recontextualizing, quote unquote, recontextualizing Thomas Jefferson, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's 235 last year. Now, the school actually took a bit of an issue with that number, said, no, we only have 55, actually. But the difference there, and this is actually a really important point about what DEI is and how it functions, is that they say, no, we have 55 dedicated DEI staffers, but the problem is, the way it's so pervasive is that the point of DEI, or one of the points of DEI, is to weave itself into every single aspect of operation of wherever it is. And so you can have someone who's not necessarily a dedicated DEI staffer sort of feeding the beast of DEI in any given organization.
Yeah, and that's such a great point to make, because you could say, no, I'm just the printing department's comptroller. But yeah, but part of their job is to make sure these things happen in this way. And is there anything in your coverage, have you found that, because it appears to me that there is nothing that an enterprise does, and we can use the word enterprise because it could be a university, it could be a radio station, it could be a newspaper, it could be an auto mechanic shop. Is there anything that you couldn't apply DEI regulation to in some way, shape, or form, Brecken?
Not that I can tell. I mean, that's sort of the point is, you can it's a worldview, and it's a way of sort of running a business that is based entirely on ideology. So you can orient or reorient, and that is the point, is to reorient all of the operations of any of the things that you mentioned into an ideology that is, you know, sort of more race oriented or gender oriented or quota oriented, and they want to you know, like I mentioned, get rid of statues, for example. Obviously, Charlottesville is a historic city. Thomas Jefferson is very important, and so, you know, it's a cultural Marxist point of view, but it's also, you know, a way of again, I mean, it's culturally Marxist. It's you know, business oriented. It looks at money. There's so many different ways that it can be applied, and that's actually part of what makes it so difficult to get rid of. We mentioned in the story that I did with my colleague Gabe Kaminsky that University of Florida just got rid of all of their DEI staff. Mm-hmm. Now, they only spent $5 million on it instead of $20 million like we do, but. One of the problems, and Texas has seen a problem with getting rid of it, is that it has made its way so far into the operations of these places that the Texas public school system, university system, they just had a DEI ban go into place on January 1st. And basically the way that all the schools responded there, and I report about this as well in another piece, that they just got rid of the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. They displaced all of the DEI staffers into other departments and other things, and are basically operating in the exact same way. So that's another thing. It's hard to get rid of once it's taken root.
So your column talks about Bert Ellis, one of the members of the Board of Visitors, first one appointed by Governor Youngkin, you know, to much controversy, even to the point where the campus newspaper plagiarized itself, perjured itself on its own altar by claiming that Bert Ellis had a racist speak on grounds, when actually he invited the racist to debate one of the leaders in the black community.
Right.
For an event that, yeah, even the newspaper itself reported that the leader in the black community eviscerated the eugenicist. But I was just told by an insider with the Jefferson Council that come July 1st, the majority of the UVA Board of Visitors will be Youngkin appointees. And you know, is there a hope, or in your coverage, did you get this feeling that when Governor Youngkin's appointees get to a position of majority on the Board of Visitors, maybe we can see some of this unwind?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. You know, it's not looking great right now. I mentioned in the story that as many people in Charlottesville know, that, you know, Alderman Library is getting rebranded. Yeah. Because Edwin Alderman was apparently a problematic historical figure. There have been dust ups with the Board of Visitors. A video that came out that Jefferson Council actually posted, I think, on Twitter, where Bert Ellis is talking about anti-Semitism, and you know, he kind of gets shut down by Jim Ryan and others.
Yep.
So I think that if there are more people like Bert Ellis and these sort of like openly anti-DEI people who see the sort of poison pill that is for an academic institution in particular, that's trying to, you know, genuinely have inquiry and things like that, that's so important. That was, you know, the reason Thomas Jefferson founded it in the first place.
Amen.
I think that it's entirely possible some of these things get reversed. Now, the problem is that Jim Ryan himself, as the university told us in our piece, is pretty dedicated to DEI. So there's going to be a battle there for sure.
And that's one of those things, like he'll do things that indicate maybe he leans right a little bit, then everyone loses their mind on grounds, and he runs to the left to protect himself. And then he hires an entire board to advise him on public statements. So I don't know who the real Jim Ryan is. Maybe we could just get AI to create a UVA president, and we'll leave it at that. Last one for you. Brecken Thies is on with us from the Washington Examiner. Please read this piece. It's online, I think, through the Examiner's website, WashingtonExaminer.com, that he did, as you pointed out, with Gabe Kaminsky on UVA, the cost to the taxpayer of just the staffers. And this is just the staffers. And there's the hidden cost. And a fella called about half an hour ago and was saying, hey, have you seen this piece? And he was very impressed that I was going to have you on. Beyond that, the ESG costs, the dark magic that they've created, Brecken, is this ability to say, sure, ESG cost us money here, but we've added the value of whatever social thing that we did while losing this money to the shareholders. So therefore, we technically didn't violate our fiduciary responsibility in your investments. Sure, your 401k is smaller, but there's clean drinking water in some place in the country you're never going to go to. So when you can't buy groceries, just understand that you've done great value to society. And that seems to be where they're hiding a lot of this almost reparational redistribution, Brecken.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's kind of the difference between shareholder and stakeholder importance, and you know, a lot of this has been turned over to stakeholders, which is, you know, sort of interested parties in your operation, not people who are interested in the actual, you know, functional success of the operation, but rather people who are interested in basically the amount of power your organization has and wants to use that to achieve political ends. And so they have a stake in your operation because of that. So obviously the University of Virginia is a major institution. It's a prestigious institution in American academia and in world academia for that matter. And, you know, because it holds a place at a historical significance and academic significance and otherwise, the interested parties here want to make sure that it is a beacon of their ideology, which is why DEI is so necessary to have at places like that. And as we've seen at Harvard and all the major institutions that have been kind of coming under fire lately as well, it is so important for the success of the left-wing cause to make sure that these ideologies are functional in places that have actual, you know, authority in society.
Well, your story is an important, I think, going to be an important weapon in at least people knowing what's going on and perhaps voting with their feet in a lot of ways, as much as possible, whether it's sending your kids to a university that doesn't cotton to this kind of stuff, or in some way, you know, deciding you're not going to give your honorarium to the library anymore. And as you brought up the Alderman Library, I got a bunch of emails after he said, well, you, Joe, you hate eugenicism, so I bet you're happy they renamed the library. I said, no, I'm not. I said, keep it. Keep the name of the eugenicist up there so we can keep talking about how UVA was one of the leaders in eugenicism in the turn of the century. How about that? I thought you were against. I am. I'm against taking down history, because if you lose it, you lose even the bad bits. And you have to have the bad bits to look at, Brecken. So I appreciate, what's next for you? What are you guys working on right now?
Well, we actually have a couple hundred pages more documents from UVA that we're looking at right now. I don't want to say too much more than that, but definitely stay tuned.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. WashingtonExaminer.com. Great work. And it's an honor to at least admit the fact that I had a chance. I could have been a contender, but you've done so well, Brecken. We're very, very pleased with your work, and keep on keeping on, and keep the flame of journalism going.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Here for you always. Like when you found out Without Boundaries was your company marketing, not human resources policy. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
We come from old Virginia, where all is bright and gay. Let's all join hands and give a yell for dear old UVA.
Yesterday we told you the tale. Brecken Thies was on with us from the Washington Examiner, the expose, UVA, and the cost of diversity, equity, and inclusion on grounds, all this ESG, you know, and $20 million hitting Virginia taxpayers. But the first thing that Brecken told us was that this was all off the works of Open the Books, and Andrew Angiewski is on with us from Open the Books. Andrew, thank you for taking some time. I know you're very busy this morning covering this story. How much pushback have you received since then? I know the university questioned even Brecken's story. Say, oh, no, it's not 200 some. It's only 55 people that are, quote, dedicated to DEI. How are you doing this morning, and how much pushback and blowback have you received from this expose?
Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Joe. Look, Brian Coy, he's the spokesman over at the University of Virginia. He's pushed back in the national media. So when, for instance, the Washington Times, the Washington Examiner, or the Daily Mail put out a great piece yesterday on this. He's got quotes saying that, oh, wait a second, we only have 55 staffers dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion at the University of Virginia. And so we asked them, when this hit the press, to release their data. You know, we released ours. We found 235 staffers, including 82 students. The students are, you know, when they work in these DEI offices and departments, they're making as much money on the equivalent of paying for their entire student tuition bill,
or
2/3 of their student tuition bill. So it's significant. We released in a database at openthebooks.com our entire findings. And our findings come from the university itself. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request for their entire university payroll. And then we went through it and audited it for DEI. This is the database that we've come up with. $15 million worth of cash compensation. You tack on 30% for the cost of benefits, and it costs students and taxpayers at the University of Virginia $20 million a year. So Coy, the spokesperson, he's refused to turn over the names, the titles, the departments, the amount of money that their claimed 55 staffers make. And furthermore, they will not quantify for the Daily Mail or others how much they're spending tens of millions of dollars on the DEI effort at the University of Virginia.
That's amazing. You know, it's I'm a little in awe. I'm part of an organization that's been trying to get information on Michael Mann's work at UVA for about 20 years now. I'm good on you for being able to get a FOIA request answered by the university. So I want to expand this out a little bit.
I do want to say, Joe, the university's been pretty good with our Freedom of Information Act requests. We've requested a lot of information from them, and rightly so. They're a state university. You know, they charge a lot of money for student tuition.
Yeah.
It takes the tuition payments of 1,000 in-state students in Virginia to pay the $20 million of the diversity, equity, and inclusion staffers.
Oh, gosh.
And there's only 17,000 undergraduates at the school.
Yeah.
So this is a huge cost driver on tuition at the university.
I know you got to run, but I want to expand this out. How much further does this go at the university, and is this applicable to other state universities? I know my friends at Virginia Tech or James Madison is like, ha, 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 look at UVA. But I'm sure it's happening there as well.
Well, what we're finding is DEI is big business. Woke doesn't mean broke. You know, you've got the top paid DEI staffer at the Darden School. He's the chief of global diversity over there, and he makes $451,000 with benefits. It's $580,000. For crying out loud, Governor Youngkin makes a base salary of $175,000.
Yeah.
You got Kevin McDonald. He heads up the entire program university wide. He makes more on cash compensation than the president of the United States. So they're making a lot of money over there.
To be fair, I think he gives a better speech. But, Andrew, I know you have to run and say hi to my friends in Austin. They probably are thinking, oh, I wonder what's happening at the University of Texas as well. Thank you for doing this, and we'll follow up with you as this goes along. OpenTheBooks.com is the website there. What are you working on next real quick before you run?
Well, we're going to quantify a lot of these DEI programs across the country. And to answer your question in full, the University of Florida, they had 28 staffers. They terminated. It was a $5 million annual spend, and they've returned that into recruiting the top professors so their students can get the highest quality of education. And now we find that the numbers in Virginia just completely dwarf those out of Florida.
Well, yeah, that's the NCAA for you. Thank you, Andrew. Adam, and you have a great morning, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you.
AM, FM, streaming, and now a smartphone app. The technology changes, but at your service since 1933. WCHV.